Hello, welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebray and Anna Singh. Join us on our writing journey.
Hello, Lucinda.
Hello, Anna.
It's nearly the start of a new year, so we're beginning our podcast. How does that make you feel?
I feel as if I have a little more pressure than when we were just completely playing at it. But I'm also quite confident that given a little bit of time, we'll get into it and it'll become a breeze.
Yes, so the reason we started the podcast was because we enjoyed our chats so much last year that we thought other people might enjoy listening to them as well. And we do focus on the writing, but we also enjoy talking to each other, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, I think we talk about books as well, don't we, and what we like to read.
Yes.
And we both come from completely different perspectives, which I think is nice as well.
It's nice, and we're both writing very different books, so we thought it might be useful to people to hear how we think about what we're doing as we do it, like if we're beginning or if we're editing or if we're reviewing. Sometimes we're focusing on character more or setting. So in the podcast to come, we'll probably be focusing on these things just mentioned.
And the other thing is that we were hoping that people would get something out of it. So we were going to try and narrow it down to a few key things that could be learnt from our experience or experiences of courses we've done. Mm. Because we've both been writing for a little while, even if not seriously.
Yes, and we've been going to courses or reading other authors about how to write as well. That's quite a useful resource. And if we think we've mentioned a useful resource, we'll usually write it down for you to access as well.
And put it in the show notes.
Yes. So the beginning of a new year, and I know where I am, I think, with my book. It's a bit random, I think we'd say. And my aim this few months is to get at least three chapters in sequence, the first three chapters ready and finished and feel good. I mean, obviously I'll edit the whole thing at the end as well.
And that's just so that we can go out and celebrate the achievement of a goal.
Yes.
Which can be quite important as well.
Mm. So do you know what you want to do in the next 3 months?
In the next 3 months, well, I've got a book that is at an edit with an editor at the beginning of February, so I'm hoping to get that finished. I'm not sure about when I'm going to publish it. I am committed to indie publishing. I like all the values to do with that, and having the control, because I'm a bit of a control freak. And also because I've got a day job, so I don't want to be working for two people. I want to work for myself.
So it might be useful for people to know that the type of writing you're doing is different from mine, and roughly what we mean by that. Do you want to say yours first?
So I'm writing urban fantasy because that's what I like to read. I understand that it's quite a saturated market, so probably not the best area to be writing in from a purely marketing point of view. But even if I was never to sell a book, I would just carry on writing. So it's not a hard decision for me to make that.
I think your values lie somewhere in the indie publishing world as well. It's to do with wanting to share things with other people, as far as I've understood from talking.
Yeah, and it's just such a supportive community. I can't imagine wanting to go. I'm not saying that I would never go with a traditional publisher, because I think that's an experience in itself. But it isn't what I'm aspiring to do.
Mm. So at the moment I'm writing more in the general fiction area, which is an even bigger kind of category and difficult to get into as well. And the nearest to my kind of writer would be something like Jessie Burton, The Muse and the Miniaturist. I like her books very much. And David Nichols, just to mention a couple, just to give some idea. Not saying that my book's about similar subjects, it isn't. But I was going more for traditional publishing, and I looked up initially in the Writer's Handbook a couple of publishers that are fairly small and that I thought I might have a sort of connection with. One is a Scottish one, because I'm half Scottish, and one is run by some Indian people, and I'm half Indian. So I thought that might work, but of course I don't know, and I'll try later on to send whatever they want, a sample or the whole thing, depending, when I feel ready, which will be in some time ahead.
From the podcast point of view, though, it's really good that we write very different things. Mine's very genre fiction, and yours is general fiction. Mm. And I'm committed to indie publishing, whereas you're fancying going with a traditional publisher. So from being able to share our experiences, it should be quite interesting.
Mm. So we were talking about other writers and how they begin their novels. And just before we started talking about it, I showed Lucinda two possible beginnings for my novel. And she preferred one. So I thought it might be useful to talk about why she preferred one over another. And the word you used was intriguing, more intriguing, the first one. And that made me think about other first beginnings. And we talked about a few before. And I asked some friends about beginnings of novels, and the one that came to their mind straight away was, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness, by Dickens. And that's from Tale of Two Cities. And I also found other quotes. There's one from Tolstoy that's quite famous. All happy families are alike. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. So there are plenty of others, and perhaps you'd like to think about some ones you like, maybe from more modern sources, because perhaps that's harder to find.
We had, before we started recording, we had a whole discussion about copyright and whether we could actually read out the beginnings of some more contemporary works, and it seems best to get permission to do that. So unfortunately, we can't read them out. But we've got a whole variety of different novels and different beginnings. And they're great for a whole variety of reasons.
Mm. So one of them that we found, we thought was good because it had a bit of mystery. I liked a beginning from George Orwell that I thought was quirky and fun, about the clocks striking 13. And it's a useful thing for us to think about what makes a good beginning. Sometimes they're very simple, short sentence, and then you read one that was really quite long. Who was that one?
That's Charles de Lint.
Yes, yeah. And it's very powerful opening because it's the beginning describing a desert scene that's very hot and arid and the people standing around. You just get a strong visual, like a film image.
But straight away you also know that there's some supernatural type elements in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's something that we can go on looking at. And in fact, if we want to quote from a contemporary book on this podcast in future, we will. But we'll just have to ask permission. So for now, we're just going to mention older books that are older than 70 years since last published, or the author has died a long time ago, like the ones I quoted. And later on, we'll talk more about the contemporary books that we've liked at the beginning. In the meantime, I hope it's useful to think about it when we're trying to finalise our own, maybe edit something and decide which is the better version, or start anew, thinking, how can I make it intriguing or very visual or a bit mysterious, all the things we've just said. Any more? Have we missed out any, do you think?
No, I wondered whether you wanted to read the beginning of yours that you chose or that I preferred.
Not yet, but I can say what it's about, roughly, because it's creating mystery by starting not at the beginning of the story, but quite a way into the story. So my main character is older. At the beginning of the story, she's a student, a dance student, and later on she has this adventure, and the beginning that you preferred was the later one. So that's interesting in itself.
It brings up the whole idea of the fact that you don't have to write in a linear way.
Yeah.
And that you can choose the bit that's more relevant to start with.
Mm. But you don't always like backtracking in a book, do you?
No, but that's probably because of how my brain works.
Mm. Well, I've remembered you said it, and I shall keep asking myself at points whether I need to consider that a bit more strongly. And also, I think when you get to the end, you may have more idea about your beginning. Mm. So if anyone's out there trying to write a beginning and getting stuck, I don't think it's worth getting stuck over. Just go into it, start, write as much as you can, and later you can think, well, what do I want for my beginning?
Mm. I think that's very true. Because you can, otherwise you never get past chapter one.
Yeah, or never even start. So I've also found one resource quite useful in this respect, which was The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, because she talks about an exercise where every morning you wake up and write 3 pages. And it's not for a novel, it's just 3 pages of thoughts that come into your head first thing. And it's important that it is first thing in the morning. And that practice can make you just get into the writing feel. And then if you're starting a book, you're already in the habit of just getting some thoughts down quickly.
I want to show you something that my mother-in-law bought me
for Christmas. And I have to say
that she didn't intend it to be for writing. She intended it to be for cooking. And it's a little snowman.
It's a snowman. Timer. Oh, a timer, that's good.
And I immediately thought, not being a big cooker, cook, chef. immediately thought, great, I can use that for setting a very visual time.
Yes, like that.
For writing.
What's the longest period of time?
55 minutes.
Very good.
That'll be
so
enough.
So there's an idea for everyone. Get an egg timer that you like and time yourself.
Well, I thought we could use it as well.
We can use it. And we can switch off gadgets too. That's another useful thing to do when you're trying to start writing, is put your phone and everything else that might interrupt you in another room.
I have never done that. It would be a good idea, but I've never done that. It just seems, a step too far for me.
A lot of writers do it, or they have a ritual like making themselves a coffee and sit down at a special place, not necessarily a desk. Both of us have found that we have a desk specifically for sitting down writing, and neither of us really do that. We just sit and write anywhere we feel like it.
One of the things that I am going to do tomorrow is sort out my desk and sort out my area with a view to trying to get into a ritual of, when I go there, I sit down and write.
Right. Yeah. Are you going to light some incense or make a cup of coffee ceremonially in a cup?
Yeah, that sounds a good idea. Yes. I think part of the difficulty I have is that I do use that desk, but for the day job work, which muddies it sullies it a little bit.
Maybe that's why you need a ritual then.
Yes, yeah. So I could... And it's also a mess at the minute, so it's got loads of clutter. So that doesn't make you want to sit down, does it?
My reasons are a bit different. It's colder. Where my desk is colder, so in the winter particularly, I don't feel like going in there, so I'd rather bring my laptop through here. And then, of course, you get distracted by model, just personal stuff that's around in your living room, which I do get distracted by. And one of my aims for this year is to be less distracted.
That's always a good aim. Would you go as far as saying that's a resolution?
Yeah, I would. Although I don't really believe in New Year's resolutions, because they're always a bit dull. I mean, everyone else always says the same things, and we've all said it to ourselves. And I can hardly bear to think about it. But yes, if I had to make one, it would be that.
Yeah.
Focus, focus, focus.
Yeah, that sounds fair enough. After just having a week off and barely doing any writing and thinking that I was actually going to start and finish a short story, I'm annoyed at myself, which doesn't help, does it? Because if you're annoyed at yourself, you don't really want to sit down and start something.
No, that doesn't help, but you're very productive, so this problem probably won't last long.
No, hopefully not. No.
We might stop there, everybody. Hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and join us again next time.
Goodbye.